This is Arts Underground on Huntsville's own 89.3 FM WLRH. I'm Katie Ganaway here today with Anders Horrox, part of Shenanigans Comedy Theater's first ensemble improv cast. She is also the creator of a new show at the theater called Don't At Me and a member of former improv group The Graduates. Welcome, Anders.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be on the radio. This is my first time.
Your first time. That's so. Thank you for letting me be your first.
Of course.
So, okay, you are not from Huntsville, correct?
No, I'm not. I totally stalked you online. Oh, cool.
Houston is part of it?
Yes. Okay. I was born and raised in Michigan and then moved to Houston when I was 18, lived there for actually 10 years on the dot, and then came to Huntsville last year.
Last year, what brought you to Huntsville?
I got a job here.
So what is your day job?
I work at Boeing as a product security analyst. So I do like cyber security. I mean, sometimes not. But yes, it sounds cool and that's what's important.
We brought you here to talk about comedy. Let's talk about how you got into improv. Like, who were your early inspirations?
I mean, I watched Whose Line Is It Anyway as a kid, as everybody does.
As one does.
Yes. And then I actually didn't do improv to try to be funny. I did it for, like, better public speaking. I had gotten a promotion at work that required me to talk more to, like, clients and senior leaders. And I was like, I need to be quick on my feet with this. I need to be able to just, like, come in and just say.
Pivot.
Yeah, exactly. Pivoting. So I was one of the few that did improv just to try to get better at just life skills. And I started it in Houston at a place called Comedy Sports, which is, like, a franchise chain. Mm-hmm. And during the first two classes, I fell in love with it. And I was like, okay, yes, I have completely gotten out of the realm of, like, just doing this for public speaking. Now I'm doing this to get better at improv. So I did Comedy Sports for a little bit, which is mainly just short form games. So then I was like, let me explore what this long form thing is. And then I went to Station Theater in Houston, and I did their first class for long form. And then, unfortunately, I had to leave Houston, come here, which ended up working out way better. I like Huntsville better than living in Houston. Mm. So then I found Shenanigans. It was actually funny. When I found out that I was moving to Huntsville, we moved here sight unseen. So I was like,
okay,
what's Alabama like? Right. And I had some predispositions, not going to lie.
No offense taken.
Yeah. And I freaked out. I was like, do they have improv? That was like the very first thing that popped into my head. So I Googled Huntsville improv, found Shenanigans, and then immediately emailed what I'm assuming now is Kim. And I was like, when is your classes? When is this happening? I need to do this. And she was like, oh, our first class is in January. I was like, great, I'll be there. That's like, I started like 2 weeks after I moved to Huntsville. Mm-hmm. I just enrolled in Improv Level 1 because I feel like when you do Improv Level 1, it helps you get introduced to a new place. And they, Shenanigans, only had two levels at the time. So I was like, I need to get integrated into the community, meet the people that I need to meet. They'll realize that I've been doing this for a little bit longer, but it was good. The level one was good. I got to meet Ben Bowden, Matt Carter, stuff like that. Did level two with them and then started being in shows. And then they were like, hey, we need to make this more official. So then I auditioned for the cast and got on.
Man, that is so cool. What is it like to be part of an ensemble cast?
It's fun. There's enough of us that you get variety of dealing with different people, but there's not too many that you don't get the, like, community feel. Mm-hmm. I actually appointed myself the unofficial social chair of the Shenanigans cast. So I was like, we need to do things together outside of practice. Mm-hmm. So I started doing social events after cast practices and trying to get people. Because you do improv better with people once you know them on, like, a personal level and once you hang out with them outside of it. So a lot of people responded to that and really liked it. So that's going to be a thing that continues.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that you're bringing everybody even closer together.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Exactly. No, it's necessity.
What was your first improv show like here versus your first improv show when you started improv?
So that's a good question. I actually feel like in Houston, Comedy Sports is way more, like, it's all PG. But it's like a chain. Yeah, it's a chain. Mm-hmm. It's basically like our version of, it's Thunderdome. So it's two competing teams competing in short form improv. It's all just short form. And so they kind of like, short form is high energy, hamming it up, stuff like that to a degree. And then long form at Station Theater in Houston was very much like, was more long form based. But it's kind of, it was interesting because it was a lot less object work than what I'm used to here, a lot less characters. They did more of like what we call at Shenanigans like radio scenes where it's just two people up there just talking to each other, which is fine. It's more chill. I feel like Texas long form is a little bit more chill than Huntsville long form, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. Then I got here and I was like, these people want me to play characters and do object work.
Like the, be dynamic, Anders.
Exactly. So I was like, oh no. So clearly I immediately found what my like lacking aspects were in improv. And then I have been working on improving that ever since.
Mm-hmm. What was your first feeling of belonging then when you came to be a part of Shenanigans?
During level two, I was like, hey guys, like, do you guys want to do something after class? And everybody did. So I got so that was really nice sense of belonging. And then when I got asked to be in my first show there, which I honestly can't remember, I think it was Thunderdome, or it might have been one of Justin Ludlow's shows. Mm-hmm. So once I realized that, like, hey, these people actually think I'm good enough to be on stage, and like I know people and I know them by their first name, and we're hanging out outside of it. Like, that's when I was like, yes, this is it.
Shenanigans is adding to their ensemble cast now. Can you talk about the process, like what that was like?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And how you felt,
yes.
Most importantly.
Oh, for my audition specifically?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I was nervous, not going to lie. I was really nervous.
Which is fine. Yeah.
I was thinking that I wasn't going to get onto it, which was like kind of irrational because I was already doing shows, so I was like, but for some reason, now I'm not going to be good enough to do shows, which I was like, that doesn't, yeah, but that goes back to imposter syndrome and kind of that kind of thing. So,
which is so fun.
Yeah, which is great.
And it's totally not common in women at
yes,
all.
No, totally. But so I was like, okay, like, I'm going to do this. Like, I just calm myself down. I was like, look, like, I've already had show experience. I've been doing these classes. Like, I've been doing, like, I know these people. They're going to judge me, like based on like in the moment, but also because they know me. So, mm-hmm. I did the audition, and I remember thinking, cause I did the first one and then I got called for a callback. And I remember just thinking like, what does callback mean?
Yeah.
Cause I wasn't a theater kid. I was
right,
like,
right.
Oh no, was I not good enough the first time?
Oh,
like
no.
What's happening? And so then, me and one of my other improv friends, Braxton, actually, we started cause we both got the callback. It was really funny because we both started, are you familiar with, Larry David's show, Curb Your Enthusiasm,
yes, yes.
Where he makes the Spite coffee shop.
Oh, gosh.
We were like, if we don't make the Shenanigans cast, we're starting a Spite improv theater right
oh,
across
no.
the street from Shenanigans.
Larry David style. That's great.
Yes, exactly. We had it all planned out. I don't remember. We were going to call it like the Giggle Factory or something. We had like a dumb name. But... it was going to be, like, so close to Shenanigans. It was going to be right across the street, which there's no building across the street, but it's fine. We were going to make one. But then we ended up, we did the callbacks, and then we got on it. And I think I remember, like, someone was saying, like, you didn't think you were going to make it? Like, obviously, like, you were. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. That checks out. And then
Your plan B is, like, okay, don't need to worry about that.
Yeah,
right now.
Exactly.
Put it to the side.
I texted Braxton. I was like, you in? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, Spite Theater doesn't need to happen anymore. We're good.
Did you have, like, a code name for it or something?
It was just going to be
Spite Theater.
Spite Theater.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Who has helped you, like, shape you as a comedian? And what sort of advice have you received that you've really stuck with throughout the years?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's been, like, specific people shaping me as a comedian. I know that I've been told that I have, like, a dry wit.
Mm-hmm.
Which
you
I
absolutely do. I've seen Anders in shows, and she has a beautiful dry wit.
Thank you.
Yes.
Which, like, getting...
As
like,
opposed to a wet. With,
yeah,
I don't know
the difference.
Sorry.
but yeah, so just whenever anybody compliments, because right, sometimes you, like, when you're doing long form or short form, there's mm-hmm. going to be shows where you're just like, I just did terrible. Like, that was just bad.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you actually didn't. You just think you did because you weren't performing at what you know is your best, but other mm-hmm. people still think it's funny. So I think, like, actually, so during the very first Don't At Me, my neighbor... she's this like older woman. She's very nice, but it was funny because I invited her to the show, and I was walking with my husband, and we like outside doing our usual outdoor walk, and I was passing her, and I was like, "Oh, are you coming to the show?" And she said, "Yeah." And then she goes, "But I just don't see it. I don't see you being very funny."
Wow, that is a bold thing to share with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah. Knowing her, I knew that like she was like, that's just her personality.
Okay.
However, I was like stake to the heart on my self-confidence there. Yeah. So then what was really funny is while we're waiting in the green room, like warming up, getting ready for shows, I come and like I'm like my first Don't At Me show, I was like pacing all over. I was like low-key panic mode the entire time, just making sure that everything went well. And I come into the green room because I'd been coming in back and forth like all like for the past hour, just like in this weird like tizzy. And I came in and I was like, hey, by the way, I forgot to tell you what happened to me today. And so then I told them about the neighbor thing and they all just looked at me horrified. And then I was like, and they were like, oh, that's awful. Why would she say that? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, it's just kind of her. Like, if you know her, but then I was like, but do you guys think I'm funny? And they were like, yes. And I was like, and then for some reason, even though I'd been doing this for so long and been casted in shows by people like Justin Ludlow and Ben Bowden who know what funny is, it took for that moment for 8 of the people that were in my show specifically to say yes, like such like an obvious yes, obviously you're funny, for me to be like, oh, okay, I'm right. Funny. So yeah, so that was nice.
So you've already mentioned Don't At Me, which is the show that you created. How did you get that in the rotation of shows that Shenanigans has? And can you briefly give like a description of what people can expect when they go?
As we know, Kimberly Wilson, Kim does run Shenanigans. She is amazing. And she basically, I was like, hey, there had been some talk when we were setting up for auditions and we were revamping Shenanigans. And they were like, hey, if you have ideas, please feel free to like come to us about show ideas. We're looking for like, because right now it's Justin Ludlow, I think, and Ben Bowden are like the only two improv showrunners. I might be wrong and there might be someone else. Don't hate me if you're out there. But so I was like, oh, that would be like, I've had this idea for a little bit. And I was thinking, I want to get this out there. Like, because right, you can be kind of like, oh, this is a cool idea and just never kind of follow through. But I was like, no, I need to follow through. So I just messaged Kim and I was like, hey, I have this idea. What are the kind of things that you're looking for to, like, if I was to tell it to you, like, how, like, what do you need from me to, like, get it greenlit? And so then I went to her and I was like, hey, this is the idea that I have. This, it's great because to volunteer your Instagram profile, you need to share your, like, you need to follow Shenanigans. So that gets Shenanigans more followers on Instagram. And I was like, it can be, I was super flexible. I was like, it can be like Friday, Saturday, Thursday. I don't care. Just let me do it. Mm-hmm. So she greenlit it once we talked it through. She thought it was a great idea. So what Don't At Me is specifically is basically the audience members will volunteer their Instagram profiles. I will, my booth runner will pick one at random. We'll put it on the screen and then I will do a Q&A with them over like what's going on in their pictures. Like if they've been to like a cool vacation spot, if they've got like party photos, like pet photos, like just anything on their Instagram. And I do a quick Q&A to be like, what's going on here? What's happening? Who are these people? That kind of thing. And then if like you have a vacation photo, I might be like, oh, what's a favorite memory you had from that vacation? We're just trying to mine things to be able to do the long form scene. I like to say I don't roast you, but to be honest, I've realized that in the crowd riffing process, there might be a little bit of a light roast. Not a dark roast, but just a light roast.
A robust roast.
Yeah. But I want people to still come back, so I don't want them to be leaving and be like, wow, she was really mean to me. Like, we're still just trying to have a fun time. So then once me and my team, because I like let a couple people that are up there with me, like kind of, I usually have about like 6 to 8 people up there with me because that like rounds out a good long form scene. So I let a couple people like ask follow up questions and like kind of do the crowd riffing as well with me because it makes it more fun. And then after that's done, then we do a short or a long form scene, about like a 8-minute long form scene, just about the stuff that we got from your profile. We do that for the first 3 rounds, and then there's a twist to it in the second half where we look at your tagged photos. But it's funny because like, do you know what's on your tagged photos? Because I had to be like, what's on my tagged photos?
I haven't looked at my tagged photos. I don't know the last time. Yeah. So yeah.
Exactly. So it's kind of fun because we get stuff from like 2016 where like a person's like, I have no idea who's posted this picture. I don't know what it's from. And we're like, but do you recognize any part of it? And they'll be like, yeah, I guess. And then that kind of makes it a little bit more fun. So we do that. And there's a couple fun little mini games. And those ones I'll keep secret because they're rotating. But they're kind of fun. That we play throughout to just kind of break it up. And then that's the show. It's a fun time. We've had really good responses. Like, people who are coming, who volunteer their Instagrams, they have a fun time watching. Because who doesn't like talking about themselves?
Yeah,
and who doesn't like watching, like, stuff about their life played out on screen?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a fun time. And then the performers have had, like, we've all had a blast doing it. Because who doesn't like doing long form? And when you get more than just a one-word suggestion to do long form scene,
yeah, of course,
there's so much more to play with.
You have a whole entire, basically a still image of a scene that you can play off of.
Exactly, so that's awesome. Yeah.
How would you like to see it evolve?
To be honest, I don't know, because
Do you have ideas for other shows?
I do have ideas for other shows. For specifically for Don't At Me, I feel like we've hit on something that's really good, and I think that, like, it's a good solid concept and people like coming. What I have thought about is playing around with, like, Instagram reels, like really weird Instagram reels that are, like, super random that you're like, where did this come from?
Like a bonus round or something.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, like, incorporating those into, like, mini games, or, like, trying to do, like, short scenes based on, like, random reels that pop up. So I'm thinking about, we're workshopping stuff like that. And then I'm actually in the process of workshopping and developing a new show at Shenanigans that has been greenlit for August, which is we're not completely plagiarizing, but are you familiar with Dropouts Make Some Noise?
I've seen clips, but I haven't been able to watch the whole.
That's fine. That's okay. All I had really heard. But Aaron Story, who's another ensemble cast member, he was like someone at Shenanigans should do a Dropout style, like, Make Some Noise game. And I was like, well, we could. And he's like, I don't know how to do that. So I was like, don't worry, Aaron, I've done
this
process. So it's kind of become that I'm doing the admin piece and he just had the ideas. So
yeah.
So that should be really fun. Definitely look out for that. It's going to be called Let's Get Loud. It's a different way of doing improv. Mm-hmm. And we actually will probably, you interviewed Leanne.
Yeah, Leanne Treese. She was the last one.
Yes, she is super excited. She's definitely going to be a part of that because
she needs to be.
She is an amazing, like, she I did the sketch show with her. It was my first sketch show.
She's a brilliant character actress.
She is like my mentor. When she doesn't know it, but she is.
Now she does.
Now she knows.
Maybe.
When it comes to that stuff, I definitely look up to her in that front. So yeah, she's going to be a part of it. We've got some other great people that are going to be a part of it. So it'll be a fun time.
Do you see comedy as, like, improv comedy or any form of comedy that you might do outside of improv? I don't know. Do you see it as a passion and a hobby, or do you see it as, like, a career, possible career for you? Like, leaving Boeing and I'm going to go make people laugh. Like,
that would be a dream scenario, but I don't think that we're going to get to that point anytime soon.
Well, you know, for the future, like, it's good to have goals.
That's fair. Yeah. That's true. No.
Attainable, healthy goals.
That's improv. No, you're good. Improv is the only thing that I do. I'd love to get into stand-up, but that's, like, a future thing down the line.
I would love to see your stand-up. It would be, that would be great.
Thank you. Sorry. I appreciate that. So we'll see. Like, that's been something I've been trying to play around with. And then right now, just improv. And I think, honestly, if I had to make it a job, it might lose a little bit. Because right, you like to say, like, keep your hobbies, because it's, like, the joy. And then when something becomes a job, then it becomes more work. However, if I could make enough money to quit Boeing and just do improv, yes, I 100% would do it. If we're going to, like, I don't think we're going to be at that point for, like, a while, but who knows, maybe.
Anders needs a backer.
Yes. If someone wants to be like, hey, I'll pay your Boeing salary for you to just do improv, please.
Well, I always ask the same kind of questions to our Funny You Should Ask guests. And Anders, are you ready for this? Ending question.
Yep.
First off, do you have any hidden talents or unique hobbies outside of improv?
I sew quilts. I don't know if that's, like, it's not hidden. Like, people can come over to my house and see all the fabric.
Like, what kind of, like, patchwork or, like, what kind of quilts?
I like to do a lot more modern quilts, but yeah, kind of, like, just, like, quilting. I sewed clothes in, while I was in school through 4-H. And so now, like, I can do clothes sometimes, but I like to do quilts right now, trying to explore that.
Okay.
Because it's a fun time.
Like, did somebody sort of inspire you to do that, or did you just, like, go, oh, that looks cool? I want to try it.
I was in third grade, and I think my mom was just trying to find something for me to do. And we picked sewing. Busy. Yeah, exactly. I'm one of those, like, my hands are always moving kind of people. That's even when cool. I'm just watching TV, like, I'm embroidering. Like, I'm working on a cool, like, Howl's Moving Castle calcifer embroidery right now. So
that is awesome.
It's cute. But yeah, so, and quilting is like, right, I like, this surprises a lot of people, but I'm actually a little bit more introverted. So work and improv take up a lot of that. And then when I'm not doing that, I just want to be upstairs. No one bother me. Just let me work on my quilt.
Right. Put your programs on.
Exactly.
Enjoy. What is your favorite dad joke or corny joke? Like something you find on the back of a Laffy Taffy?
That's a good one. My husband always does the same one, and I'm about ready to just, like...
Oh, tell us.
He, like, whenever I say I'm hungry or I'm cold, because I'm one of those girls that will always tell him if it's cold. He likes to joke that, like, if you don't know it's cold, get married, because then your wife will always tell you.
Oh, okay.
But so, like, I'll be like, I'm cold, and he'll be like... He'll shake my hand and he'll be like, I'm Kevin. And I'll be like,
boy.
No, please. We're like this close to divorce if you keep doing that. No, we're
right.
I think why I find it so funny is because my dad did the exact same thing to me growing up. And I don't think my husband knows that my dad did that. So I'm like, why is this happening again?
I thought I left that at home.
Okay.
But do you have like a favorite corny joke outside of that that you do
that
doesn't make you want to have a divorce?
I guess it's kind of my favorite because they both have done it to me. But personally, if I don't know, I think I'll make like literal jokes. I'll be like, oh, like I think like I was trying to pop, like I was trying to hand my husband a piece of popcorn, but really it was a popcorn kernel that you can't eat. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. And I was like, get it? Because you can't eat it because it's a popcorn kernel. And he just looked at me like, what's wrong with you? So I like it when things get too literal because I'm kind of an analytical thinker.
Who makes you laugh the most in your life?
My mom, hands
your mom?
Down. Yeah.
Oh, tell us more.
She's just always, I'm an only child. So she, the gloves kind of came off like swearing wise and everything when I was like 10 years old because she's like, I can't keep it in anymore. So she likes to tell me, she was like, yeah, I'm your mom, but really I only know how to be an older sister. So that's kind of what you got. So she'll just like, she does impressions of people just in our lives. Like she'll do no holds barred, like critiques of people that we see, like, or we have in our life. And
Does she do this in secret or is she like, I don't care if they hear?
It's kind of in secret. It's just to me. Because sometimes it's my dad, sometimes it's my family. Mm-hmm. And so she'll just do it to me and then I'll just be dying. And yeah, it's fun.
Right.
She's very good at impressions. And I think I get like my dry sense of humor from her sometimes because she'll be very like, she can be like a little bit mean with her cutting humor. So we're like, mom, tone it down. But I feel like she missed her calling with doing stand-up for sure.
Maybe she needs to just guest host a Don't At Me show. I don't
know. Oh, God, no. She saw me do improv like once in Houston because of scheduling. Mm-hmm. And then she came into town and she watched like me do side chat one time when I like the last performance of The Graduates my parents were there for, which was kind of nice. But she watched me do improv and she started talking. And I was like, mom,
no.
And if you know anything about, like, the audience shouldn't talk. So, like, so they were doing, like, a scene about the devil. And, like, the devil's like, I'm going to take your soul. And my mom, who's sitting in the front row, goes, oh, look, it's P. Diddy. And
oh,
I was
God.
Because like, the documentary had just come out. But I'm sitting there like, mom, shut up.
Oh.
Like, you're not supposed to be doing this right now.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we go? Like any where people can find you on social media, upcoming gigs?
Yes, for sure. We have a Don't At Me. I want to say it's June 21st. I'm 90% positive it's June 21st. But yeah, all of the shows are on Shenanigans, Shenanigans website. My social media,
which is HuntsvilleLaughs.com.
Yes, thank you. I forgot.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then my so the social media for Don't At Me is at Don't At Me Show. So please follow that. We post like when our upcoming shows are, and we post like little snippets of like previous shows. And if you come to a Don't At Me show, please feel free to like tag us, tag Shenanigans and tag Don't At Me at Don't At Me Show on Instagram, and definitely be on the lookout for Let's Get Loud coming up in August. That should be a really fun show, especially if you're a fan of Dropout.
Nice. Well, thank you, Anders, for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was awesome. Yes,
of course.
Thank you so much. This was really cool.